To the Gemara on Daf Samach Dalet Amud Beis, right before the second Mishnah, or shall we say the Gemara down the middle of the Gemara between the first Mishnah and the second Mishnah, Amar Rav Zutra Bar Tuvia Amar Rav, and we're discussing based on Amoraim, based on a Braisa, how was the Malika on an oath, how was it implemented, how did the Kohen hold on to the oath at the time of Malikam, Rav Zutra, etc. Ketzad Molkim Chatas HaOf. How do we do the Malika? And again, it mentions here Chatas HaOf. This is what our Gemara is talking about. That's because it's the first in the Seder HaMishnayis, but later on we're going to get to Olas HaOf. And Bepashtus, whatever we're learning here about Chatas HaOf applies to Olas HaOf as well. And Ketzad Molkim Chatas HaOf, he's going to put the oath in the palm of his hand. We're going to have Machlokas Rishonim about the following question. The Rambam Shita is, in his Pirush HaMishnayis, that the Kohen holds the bird with his left hand, and he does Malika with his right hand, because all avodas have to be done biyamin, and therefore the Malika as an avoda has to be done biyamin. He can hold the bird in his left hand. Others, however, and that's what the Shitim Gubetzes quotes here in the name of Tosus Acheros, that the halacha requires that even the holding of the bird is part, we define it as part of the avodah, thus also requiring the right hand. Which means that, again, I don't know physically how you could do this, but you're holding it, the bird in the right hand, and at the same time you're doing Malika with his thumb. I mean, that's a pretty amazing achievement. Ochez Gapov B'shtei etzbos, and you remember recalling that he's holding the wings down with which fingers? Again, the bird is in the palm of his hands. He's using his middle finger, which is called the ama, and his index finger, which is called the etzba, and the wings are between these two fingers. I have a diagram of it here in the Masifta, and the wings are taken in the middle of these two fingers. And then it says "Ushtei raglayim b'shtei etzbos." Now these two etzbos are the what we call the ring finger and the pinky, which are called in Hebrew the Ama and the Etzba. I'm sorry, correct myself on that, are the Etzba and the Agudel. He says here in the Hebrew, Shtei Raglayim B'Shtei Etzbos Bein Hakmitza Lazeres. So he's talking about the area between his two, well, if we're in the right hand, we'll call it the two most left of fingers, meaning the pinky and the kmitza, which I guess you might call the ring finger for those people who wear it on that finger. Umachnis es atzavar bein ha'etzba la'gudol, and he stretches the throat out between the etzba, which is the pointer finger, and the agudo, which is the thumb. So it's like all of his five fingers are involved in this. And again, at this point, the neck of the bird is between the etzba and the agudo, that's the thumb and the pointer finger. So now he's going to swing around his agudo, his thumb, He's moteach tzavara al rochev gudlo. In other words, he pushes down the neck in that area between the between his thumb and the etzba, the pointer finger. Ubi od shetzavar shochev al chelko atachton shel hagudol. So now that the neck. Oh, the way I understand it, Motech Tzavar al Rochav Shtei Etzba'osav means he is pushing down the neck, giving it a certain stretch, if you will, between his thumb and his Etzba, his forefinger, so that now the bird's head is coming down, the thumb is going, you know, I don't know what you'd call it, diagonal, it's going, not diagonal, I mean to say straight across, in such a way that he can do the malika and umolik, and then he does the malika. And again, this is the picture that we have based on the brisa. Now, is there some difference here between the brisa and the original statement in the name of Rav? Rav says, Umoteach Tzavara al Rochav Gudlo, which would mean, as we said before, that the Tzavar is resting on the lower part of his thumb, you know, towards the fat part of his thumb, on the root of his thumb, if you can call it that way. And then the tziporet, in other words, the nail which is going to go in to do the malika, that's on the top, and that's umolka. Again, the picture here is very helpful. That's Rav. But Masnisen Tana, tzipra milabar, which means that he's holding the bird from the outside. So this brisa has it a little bit differently. He's holding it on the outside, begav hayad, panav l'kivun hayad v'orfo l'mala. So again, he's holding the wings with his two fingers. The legs are with two are being held with two fingers, and then he stretches the throat over the inner width of the two fingers, umolik. So that the brisa has the neck stretched over the index and the middle fingers, the bird is positioned there on the back of the Kohen's fingers. That's what we said before, begav hayad, because otherwise there's no way for the Kohen to get the head secured in a position while he's performing the malika. The wings were secured between the index and the middle fingers. The throat is stretched out over the inner width of those fingers. So it's interesting because In this particular diagram that we're looking at here, I should really take a picture of it. It's here. It's in Os Mem Dalid Zutzuras Achizel Fi Abraisa. And again, according to many opinions, he's doing this all with his right hand, and that seems to be the sheet of the Radbaz. So if you take a look at the way the picture is, he's pulling the tzavar down on the rochav of shtei etzbos. Again, the am and the etzpa, which is the two almost middle fingers, really. He's holding on to the wings between the ama and the kmitza, and the two raglaim are between the kmitza and the zeres. It's like the whole bird is sort of like coming down onto his fingers, and the brisa ends by saying zu avoda kosha shebemigdosh. Now the Gemara says the following, that this is a very difficult malika, and the Gemara now tries to clarify exactly what you meant by this is such a difficult avoda sheba migdash. It sounds like it's the most difficult avoda in the migdash, and that's going to bother the Gemara because of the Kohen Gadol and Yom HaKippur. But in any event, Tosis says that if you hold, and this is in the Sheet of Gubetz, that you hold that the Kohen performed Malika with one hand, so he held the bird and he did the Malika, that's very difficult. You would require a tremendous manual dexterity in order to accomplish this Malika with the very hand that's grasping the bird. Now, alternatively, you could say that the challenge of this Malika is that the Kohen is in pain, he has to endure pain in cutting through the bird's neck bone with his thumbnail. The Gemara says, Zuhi v'sulova ika k'mitza v'chafina. Now, chafina is a reflection of the Kohen Gadol on Yom HaKippur when he's marked to the Ketores and the Kodesh Kadoshim, besides the daily Ketores that he did in the Heichal. But the Ketores that he takes into the Kodesh Kadoshim is inside the palm of his left hand. In his right hand he's holding on to the Machta, this shovel with Gecholim in it. He goes into the Kodesh Kadoshim. He has to place the machta, this shovel that's holding on to all the coals, between the body of Aaron. Then he does chafina of the ktores, shebekaf, the tochofnov. He gathers all together on the gecholim, and the Brisa says in Yuma, Ketzer osa oches es adbozech, berosh etz ba'osov, Yesh Omer B'Shinov Umala B'Godlo Achimagas Lebein Atzili Yod V'Chozer Machaz U'Machzir L'Tok Chofnov. So that Kmitza and Chafina are very, very difficult. Again, in the case of Chafina, the Kohen Gadol is pouring the incense from his pan, and he's holding the pan with his cupped hands, and the difficulty here is overwhelming. In the case of Kmitza, which is absolutely essential in the case of a Mincha, the Kohen bends the middle three fingers of his right hand over his palm to form a hollow. The flour is filling this hollow, which is called the Kometz, and then it's removed from the Mincha and burned on the Mizbeach. This is very difficult. The Kohen must use his little finger and his thumb to carefully brush off the kometz in the hollow so the kometz is not deficient or overflowing. He says that HaKmitza nastal yidei shakoen hoyetoche vesyodo litocha mincha vekometz heimeno vekapo ubetz ba'osov uliyacha mikan hoya olav limcho klahashvos es kvitzos ubetz bo'a ktanu ube agudlo amanash lotia kmitza yoser me'ashera nimtza ben kapo v'sholosh etzbaosov v'avoda zuhi hoysa avoda kosher ela emes. The Gemara says what the Brice has in mind is zo avoda kosher me'avodos kosher shebemigdash, meaning it's one of the various difficult challenges of the avoda in the migdash. It's not the only one. And that leads us to the new Mishnah. This new Mishnah is dedicated to the Seder of Olas Ha'of. Until now we've been talking about Chatas Ha'of. And this Olas Ha'of is a Karban Chova that accompanies the Chatas Ha'of. We had six different ways in which he would incur a Chiyuv of Chatas Ha'of, which in each of these cases he accompanies the Chatas Ha'of with an Olas Ha'of. In addition, there's an olas ha'of. In the case of a gersh miskari, he has to bring a korban, either a behemah or an oaf. If he brings from an oaf, he has to bring shtei torim or shnei bnei yona li'ola. The ola self could also come as an adava, like any other korban ola, and then he could bring one oaf, one single bird, and the dinim that apply to the hakrova of ola sa'of are clarified by the Torah in Vayikra Aleph. We'll just read through the psukim very quickly. V'im min ha'of ola karbon ol Hashem v'kriv min ha'torim o min b'nei ha'yona es karbono v'krivo Hakohen al Mizbeach, Malakis Rosho Victira, Victira Mizbecha Minimza, Domal Kira Mizbeach, a Siris Muraso Binotsosa, Vishlicho Sa, Eitzel Amizbeach, Kedma El Makoma Doshen, Vishisau Sobachnafav, Loyav Deal, Victiro Sa Kohen al Mizbecha, Al Haetzim Ashala Eish, Olohu Ishe Reach Nichoch Hashem. So the psukim here, with regard to this Ola, tell us that number one, he needs Malika, he's going to need Haktar Sarosh, he's going to need Mitzvah Adam, he's going to have Haktar Saguf after he takes out the Mora'ah and the Notzasah and throws him into the Makabah Deshen, and then he's going to require Shisua Gufa Of Beknofav. So the Mishnah says, Ola Sa'of Ketzad Nases, how is it done? How is it performed? Olala kevesh, the Kohen goes up the kevesh, the ramp. He's holding on to the oaf. Upana la sovev, he goes from the kevesh to the sovev, the kevesh katan, which connects between the main kevesh and the sovev. So the Kohen ascends the ramp, turns to the surrounding ledge. Okay, so in contrast to the chato sa'of, the dam of the ola sa'of is offered on the upper part of the mizbeach. So before he does the malika, the kohen ascends the ramp to reach the ledge. And again, this is very different than animal offerings, because here the blood of the chatos is applied to the upper part of the Mizbeach. And then the Mishnah says, Bolo lekeren dromis mizrachis, so he's on the southeastern side of the Mizbeach, and this we discussed earlier, Hayamolek es rosho mimul arpo, he does a malika from the back of its neck, otherwise known as the nape, umavdil, and he separates the head from the body by cutting two simonim, the kana and the veshet. And this obligation of havdalah is derived later on in the sugya from psukim. Rashi, here's machlokas between Rashi and other Rishon, Rashi sheet is that Avdola means cutting two simonim. The Rambam sheet is not 100% clear, but apparently Avdola is to actually sever the head from the body completely. And again, this only applies to the Ola Sof. In the case of Chatasof, there's an Isra Avdola. And then it says, after Umavdil, it says, Umitza es dam al kira mizbeach. Right, he squeezes out the dam directly from the bird onto the wall of the mizbeach. And in the case of Ola Sa'of, there's matan dam on the mizbeach. Olas, in contrast to Chata Sa'of, where the matan dam is hazah,
Here it's mitzui. Here in the case of Olas Hof, it's fundamentally mitzui, not matan damim. In the case of Chatas Hof, the mitzui comes afterwards as like an asina shirayim. Now, what exactly is mitzui? Rashi seems to say he pushes the bird against the kira mizbeach, the side of the mizbeach. Then notal es rosho, he has now separated the head from the body. He takes the rosh. Again, we're assuming now that the avdola here, in the case of Olas Ha'of, is chituch hasimonim, so it's not yet separated. The hikif beis malikaso, he took the place where the malika was done on the animal's neck, lamizbeach. Hikif means he's makariv, he brings it close to the mizbeach, and then he squeezes its dam. And this is based on the pasuk u'mitzas dam al kira mizbeach. And then afterwards, sfago b'melach, he cleans it off with salt. And the din of melach applies to all karbonos that are brought as a hakrova on the mizbeach. The Torah says, v'chol karma min chasecha b'melach timlach. Again, the melech was placed in various places, and also amongst them on the Rosh HaMizbeach for Malikas Olas Ha'of. And before we get to the Ishim, let's say that he saturated the head of the bird with salt. There's a Minchas Chinuch here on this sugya about rubbing the head in the salt that was stored up on top of the mizbeach, as we mentioned earlier. Then after sfogo b'melach, it was saturated with salt. Then uzroko al gabi ha'ishim. Then it was thrown onto the fire. Now when it says here uzroko, the lashon of zrika is here and later on with regard to the body of the oaf. In other words, here we're talking about rosho, notalis rosho. Later on we're going to have gufo when it says bolo laguf. So in any event, the din of Zrika Seivarm Laktorah on the Mizbeach we derive from a pasuk Vasisa Lasecha Bosav Adam, that just like Dam is Bizrika, so to the Bosar is Bizrika. And the Zrika is on top of the airspace, the Avir Karka Mafsik Bein Mokom Ma'amodo Lebein Amarocha. So he throws it over that airspace. However, in the case of Olas Ha'of, there's no zrik on the dam, and therefore the Minchas Chinuch comes to the conclusion that here in our Mishnah, he doesn't have to actually throw it over the airspace to the Eish, but he can just place it down on the Marocha. So the word zarko here is used because that's what he does with the other Eivarim. And then the Mishnah says, Bolo laguf, he comes to the body of the oaf, Ehesir es mura'ah, he removes the mura'ah, which is called in Hebrew the zefek, in English it's translated as the crop, bes hanotza, and the feather. I would assume that the word notza'ah could be translated as plural. He says in the Hebrew notzos. Now there's a certain amount of skin on top of the crop, on top of the zefek, that also is connected with the, that or is connected with the notza. Ves b'nei ame'ayim ayotzim imam.
And here there's a tremendous machlok sachronim on how to interpret this Vespinei Ameyayim Ayotzin Imam. This is the Kishkis inside. Where was the Malicha on the Rosh and the Guf? And from whence did he throw it into the fire? According to one sheet, that's the Minchas Baruch. Since he's doing the Olas Ha'of on the Sovev, then he's also doing the Malicha and the Zrika from that place. However, the Chazon Ish is of the opinion that he wasn't Zorek to the Ishim from the Sovev. That's not Sherus, that's a Derech Sherus, but rather he would go up on the Mizbeach and there he would do the Malicha, and from there he would be Zorek on the Ishim, and then he'd go back and do the same thing to the Guf, starting with the Rosh and then the Guf. And that's why it says Bolo Leguf, meaning from the same spot of the Guf. Shoyamagia Elov Achar Shehikte al Rosh HaMizbeach. So it means that after he does the Malika and the Mitzah, he would take the Rosh, he would turn to his right, he would go around the Mizbeach on the Sovev, he would go down on the second side of the Kevesh, and at that point he would go up the Kevesh on the right side, on the Rosh HaMizbeach. He would be mocked to the Rosh, then he'd go back by the right side until he went down to the left of the Kevesh, then he went back up onto the Sovev, he came to the Guf, and then he removed the Mora'ah and the Notzah, Shiso, and then he would go back around the Sovev, coming down on the second side of the Kevesh, and then he would go up the Kevesh on the right side to be mocked to the Guf, and then he went around Derech Yamin until he went down the Kevesh on the left side. Then it says, Vishlichan Lebeis HaDeshen. Then he should take these Bnei Ame'ayim and throw them into the Beis HaDeshen, which is 20 Amma towards the south, on the eastern side of the Kevesh. And that he did before the Akrovas HaGuf. Then it says, Shisa, he tore open the body of the bird and Velo Hivdil, he didn't separate it completely, meaning didn't separate the different parts of the oaf. So Shisa Velo Hivdil, he tore open the body of the bird but did not separate it into two parts. The Torah says V'shisa oso b'knafav lo yavdil. The Imhivdil kosher, but if he went ahead and he did Avdolah, then once he does the Mitzvah Yadam, then the oaf is not possible, the korban is not possible. Once again, Sofko in terms of the Guf Bamelach, just like he did to the head, he saturates the body in salt, Uzroko, and he throws it for burning Al Gabi Ishim, and the Kohen get nothing. This is in contrast to Behemas Ola and Olas Behema, where at least the Kohanim get the R. Here they don't get anything. Now, the Pasuk says in Vayikra Aleph, Vishasau Sobek Navav Lo Yavdil, according to the Rambam, it means he doesn't have to separate it. And the Pasuk is coming to tell us that there's in Ein bi olas of mitzvahs nituach evarim kiba olas behema. So there's no mitzvah in olas of nituach evarim, of taking apart and dismembering the parts of the body. Other Rishonim hold that the Torah holds there's an Isra Avdolah. It's not just an optional issue, it's an Isra Avdolah, and it's a lav to be counted amongst the lavim. On the one hand, there's a requirement of Havdolah between the head and the body, but on the other hand, when he gets to the body itself, he's not going to split the body into half. Again, according to the Rambam, he's not forbidden from doing Avdolah. It's just unnecessary. According to other Rishonim, Lo Yavdil is a separate lav, and he's not allowed to do so. V'im Hivdil Kosher, and according to many Rishonim, this means that even though the Kohen deviated from the procedure, but he split the body into two, the carbon is still kosher. Now, lo hisir, what happens, asks the Mishnah, if he did not remove the crop or the feathers or the kishkis, the b'nei me'ayim, is the carbon is still kosher, v'chein lo sfogo b'melach, he didn't saturate either the head or the body with melach, kol sheshinu me'achar shemitzes dama k'shera. That if the shinui, if the deviation from the required procedure took place after the mitzvah adam, when he squeezed the dam onto the kira mizbeach, then it's kosher. In other words, once the dam of the oaf was subject to mitzvah on the mizbeach, then these shinuyim, these deviations, would not invalidate the korban. Now again, the mitzvah adam corresponds to zrikas adam in the case of a zevach, of a behema. In the case of a behema, the zrika concludes the avod is absolutely critical. And anything that follows the zrikas adam would never invalidate the karbon. And there's a similar idea here in Olas Ha'of with regard to mitzui. The Mishnah continues, Hivdil Bechatos. So we're talking now about Chatos Ha'of. Just 1 second, I lost the place here. Here it is. Hivdil Bechatos. Let's say in the case of a Chatos Ha'of, he separated the two Simonim, the Kon and the Veshet. The lo hivdil be ola, but in the case of the ola, he only did a malik on one of the two simon, and posel, the carbon is posel. In other words, either one of these two shinuyim would be enough to invalidate the carbon. And again, this is all before he finished the avodah saddam. So either, in one case, he cuts both simonim, which he wasn't supposed to do in the case of chatos, or he failed to do havdalah in the case of the ola sa'of. And again, when we talk about havdalah here, we mean to separate the head from the body. Hivdil b'chatos. Again, in the case of Chatos, we said that he should not have cut through both simonim, the esophagus and the trachea. So basically, he decapitated the bird in the case of a Chatos. That's the shinui. In the case of the Ola, he did not separate the head from the body. So in the case of the Chatos, he did separate the head from the body. In the case of the Ola, he failed to separate the head from the body. Is posel. In other words, this is a shinui before the mitzvah dam. Mitzvah dam harosh v'lo mitzvah dam haguf psula. We're talking about an olas ha'of, and he did the mitzvah only on the dam harosh, but not on the dam haguf. The korban is posel. And on this we had a drasha. We'll have a drasha later on in daf samach vav. Mitzvah es dam harosh, es dam haguf, alo mitzvah es dam harosh, kshera. If, however, he did the mitzvah on the guf,
then the korban is kosher, despite the fact that he omitted mitzui on the dam harosh. So the mitzui, the dam harosh, is not essential to the korban, and therefore it's kasher. This also, we'll have drushes on this later on. Now the Mishnah delineates the dinim of a korban ha'of where he had a machsheves psul. And machsheves psul fits into three categories. Number one, if he'd had a kavan of shalol lishma. Number two, if he had in mind chutz l'mkomo, that the dam or the aktar the mizbeach or the achilas abos would be chutzim koma roilo lo savoda. And then finally, if he does the avodos with a machsheves chutz lizmano, where he's going to zorik the dam or mach to the mizbeach or eat the bos or chutz lizmano, that's a machshava which generates pigul. In the case of shalol lishma, it would only pass the carbon if it was a chatos. And chatos means whether it's a chatos behema or a chatos ha'of or a minchas chote, carbon pesach. These are the carbonos. But in other carbonos, machsheves shalol lishma doesn't pass the carbon, just lo ol l'bayim l'shem chova. In the case of machsheves chutz zmano and chutz limkomo chutz zmano, that passes in all carbonos. And in the case of chutz zmano, in addition to a carbon posel with the nisra achila, there's also nisra achila bekares because of the din of pigul. The carbon becomes pigul. So chata sa'of shemaloka shalol lishma, or mitzah dama shalol lishma, or lishma v'shalol lishma, oh shalol lishma v'lishma psula. And the reason for this is because in the case of chatos, you must have lishma. And the chiddush here is even if there was an admixture of lishma and shalol lishma, the machsheves shalol lishma passes the karma. Again, we're going to have to see if that's according to all Tanoim or only according to one sheet of Rabbi Yosef. But in any event, shalol lishma passes a chatos. Ola sa'of, however, if he did the malika l'shem karban acher for the wrong zevach, or the mitzvah for that matter, or even if he had lishma and shalol lishma, or lishma shalol lishma and lishma, whichever sequence is kshera, because there's no din of machsheves shalol lishma to pasul in ola, ubelvad shalol osa l'bayil l'shem chova, however the shinui kodesh of the shalol lishma is mafkia the ritzui karbon on behalf of the bayilim, they'll have to replace it with another karbon. The Mishnah continues. Echad chatas ha'of, the echad olas ha'of, shemalokon v'shemitzas domon lechol dovar shedarko lechol lahakter dovar shedarko lahakter chutz l'mkomo posel v'ein bo karis chutz zmano pigol v'chayovin alei karis v'mavad sheyakriv hamakriv hamater kimitzvoso. So why, whether or not we're talking about chatas ha'of or olas ha'of, if the maliko of the mitzvah adam was done for chutzim komo, again we're talking about something that's darko lechol. There's a sugya me'il that clarifies here when it says in the Mishnah, it says milkon v'shemitzas domon, and then the Mishnah is going to establish the korban as posel. Keep in mind that in the case of chatas ha'of, mitzui is not even ma'akev, and therefore there would not be a machshava poselis, because even if there was no mitzui at all, So when it says mitzvah here in this Mishnah, it's only referring to olasov. In any event, there's either a machsheves chutzim zmano or a machsheves chutzim komo. And we're talking about a machshava that he had at the time in the malika or the mitzui, again mitzui in the case of Ol Sa'of, to eat the basar of this chatos or of this ola. Now in case of ola, it's kula kolil, so let's just talk about chatos now. Shelo b'mokom achila or haktora, shelo b'mokom haktora, the carbon is pasul. However, aimbo kares. If somebody eats the basar, he doesn't violate kares by eating a carbon pasul. But if the malika or the mitzui was done with a machshav chutzis mano, meaning he'll be makter tomorrow, or he'll eat it tomorrow, in such a case you have chutzis mano pigul v'chayov v'leah kares. The precondition in generating pigul is that all the avodos hamatiros were done, but the machshavas hakohen was a machshavas pigul of chutzis manu. If, for example, there's another admixture of another psul, then that's not sheyakrav hamatir kimitzvaso, and therefore there would be no pigul. The Mishnah now explains the various scenarios in which the carbon becomes pigul, and what happens if he had a tarovus, he had a mixture of many different machshavos, other machshavos are poslos, and therefore it's not pigul, it's only posl. Ketzaj, korev hamatil kimitzvaso, what does it mean the avodas hakohen was done with the proper way, and that's why the machshavos pigul generates pigul. Kigon shemolak b'shesika umitza esadam chutz l'zmana. So he had no machshava at the time of the malika. He had a machshava of chutz l'zmana at the time of the mitzui. So it means that he was makriv the matir kimitzvaso. In this case, he did the malika kimitzvaso, or in the flip case, Shemolak chutzizmano, he had a machsheves chutzizmano of pigul at the time of the malika, umitza sadam v'shesika, and the mitzui went okay. Oh, shemolak umitza dam chutzizmano, hadam chutzizmano, if both malika and mitza were done together with a machshava to eat the basar b'matir chutzizmano, Zeu shekarev hamatik mitzvaso, all the avodas were done kitikunam, except for the fact that he had a machshav of chutzis manu, therefore becomes pigul. Ketzad lo karev hamatik mitzvaso, what were the case where, give us an example of the case where the avodas were not done properly, and therefore the pigul, the karbon, is not chal, there's a psul in the karbon, but not a din pigul. Molak, if at the time of the Maliki had a machshava of chutzim komo, umitzas adam with a machshava of chutzim mano, o shemolak chutzim mano umitzas adam chutzim komo, o shemolak umitzas adam chutzim komo. And this last case is according to Rashi Shigra Delishna. Because again, if he had a machshavas chutzim komo with both malika and mitzui, there's no havmin into this pigul here. So that's called a shugas haloshon. But the main point is, if one of the two avodos, the main avodos here are malika and mitzui, were done with the machshavas chutzim zmano, but the other flip side avoda was chutzim komo, that would be lo karev hamatir kimitzvaso, and therefore there would be no pigul. Now here we turn to Daf Samachei Amid Aleph, and the Mishnah continues Bechatos Ha'of, where we know from our Mishnah at the beginning of Zvachim that a machshava shalol shma pasels a korban chatos is shemalako shalol shma umitzas adam chutz zmano.
So in this case, since one of the two avodos was done shalol lishma, which passes the karban, then the machsheves chutzis zman in the partner avoda would not generate pigul, because we need ad sheyakriv hamatirov kimitzvaso. Now the Mishnah comes to discuss the laws of a karban. We had a machsheves chutzis zman, and at the same time we had a machsheves chutzim komo. In the same avoda itself, he had both contradictory machshavos. So, if at the time of the avodas hakarban he had a machshav of chutz of lechol kizayis b'chutz to eat it chutzim komo, u'kizayis and another kizayis to eat it lemachar chutzis mano, or the other way around, he had at first a kizayis lemachar chutzis mano, and then a kizayis b'chutz chutzim komo, or he had a machshav of chatzi zayis b'chutz and chatzi zayis lemachar, or chatzi zayis lemachar, chatzi zayis lebachutz. In all these cases, pasul v'ein bo karis, since he had a tarovus of machshavos, amongst them was chutz lemkomo, which generates a psul in the karban. It's not considered kariv hamatir kimitzvaso, and therefore, it is pasul but not pigul. Amar Rabbi Yehuda zeklal. What's the rule, according to Rabbi Yehuda, of someone, a Kohen, who has two machshavos, one chutzis mano and the other chutzim komo? It all depends on what machshav he had first. Im machshavas hazman, meaning chutzis mano kodma, le machshavas hamakom, pigul v'chayom le karis. Since the first machshava was a machshav of chutz lizmano, that generates pigul, and then that's irreversible. But if on the other hand, machshavas hamakom, notes chutzim komo, kadma came first, machshava says man possibly able karis, because the first machshava, namely of chutz lemkomo, generates a psul in the karban, and once it's possible it cannot become pigul. V'chachamim omrim zev zev possibly able karis. It doesn't matter which machshava came first. Even the machshava chutz lemano came first, it does not become pigul, because the chachamim take into consideration both machshavos, no matter what sequence they were in. And since one of those two machshavos was a machshav of chutz lemkomo, therefore there's only going to be a psul of isachi without karis, which means that according to Chachamim, basically, afal gmar devar of adam nidon, in other words, we have to take the entire, shall we say, all the machshavos that he had into context. The Mishnah now establishes lechol kechatzi zayis ulahakter kechatzi zayis kosher. If he had in mind to have a kezayis chutzim zmano, a kezayis chutzim komo, or to be maktir a chatzi zayis. So either the achila of the Adam was chatzi zayis, chutzis mano, chutz, or chutzim komo, or the chatzi zayis had a machshav of chutz, of haktoras, of haktor of the basar, of a chatzi zayis, chutzim komo, or chutzis mano, kosher, shein achila haktor mitztarfen. In other words, there's no psul, and certainly there's no pigul, unless he thinks about a full kizayis of chutzis mano, chutzim komo. But if he has in mind a chatzi zayis and another chatzi zayis, half of it is Adam and half of it is the Mizbeach, those two machshavos are not mitztarfos, and therefore there's no psul in the karban. The karban remains kosher. And we had this back on Choftes with regard to karbanos behema. The Gemara explained on Daf Lam and Aleph the chiddush in our din, that even though he had a machshava on something that's royal achila, royal aktar, they're not mitztarif if each one was a half of a zayis, and here the karban ha'of is ena karban sheyesh bo achila v'gam aktara. Why? Because the olas ha'of has no achila. it's completely burnt. The chatasof has no aktara. So when he had a machshava of chatzi zayis on achila and chatzi zayis on aktara, mimonafshach, the part of the kizayis is not roy. Part of this kizayis is not roy lachila aktara. So he only has a machshava on a chatzi zayis, and therefore, even if you would have assumed that there's a tziruf of achila and aktara, it wouldn't be pigul. So there doesn't seem to be much of a havamina here, neither in the case of chatasof nor in the case of olasof, that you can generate in a chatzizayis and another chatzizayis some sort of a tziruf to engender a pigul. That remains a difficult question. So we're going to stop here. B'li Neder, in tomorrow's shiur, we'll pick up the Gemara here on Daf Samachem and Al.